From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Rockford is the third most populous city in Illinois. For years, it struggled with high rates of homelessness, but in 2014, things began to change. Then-Mayor Larry Morrissey signed on to First Lady Michelle Obama's mayor's challenge to end veteran homelessness by 2015. With this commitment, combined with the work of housing advocates and community groups, Rockford restructured its approach to this difficult problem. By 2020, Rockford was on the verge of ending homelessness entirely. Then the pandemic hit. Existing housing needs and economic pressures were amplified, and the city had to adapt. Rockford's efforts were recently featured in an article in Politico called "What COVID Taught This Mid-Sized City About Ending Homelessness." We'll have a link to that on our Twitter page at 21st Show. Here to talk more about what Rockford did and how other cities might step up their own efforts to end homelessness is Angie Walker. As the City of Rockford's Homeless Program Coordinator, she leads a number of housing interventions and regularly collaborates with other groups and agencies in the city and surrounding counties. Angie, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara, who's in his second term. Several years ago, he established the Community Relations Commission to advise city government on social justice, law enforcement, and issues of equity. Mayor McNamara, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me on.
And finally, Rockford is one of more than 80 communities involved with Built for Zero, a national campaign at the nonprofit Community Solutions. Jake McGuire is co-leader of this campaign, which is committed to measurably ending homelessness and leaving no one behind. Jake, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions or observations about Rockford's approach to ending homelessness and how you see the city and local governments taking on or maybe not taking on this issue in your own part of Illinois, 800-222-9455 is the number to call, 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So, Angie, I want to begin with you. You've been involved in housing advocacy in Rockford for many years. How did you get started?
Well, I actually have a history of working in housing. Prior to coming to this city, I actually was a public housing manager, and I also worked for a different program that worked with homeless families. So I've been working in housing and homelessness for quite a while. So when I saw the job at the city, I jumped at it, and here I am about 12 years later.
So what does it mean to follow a housing first philosophy?
What Housing First is it's basically you meet the people where they are. You don't put any requisites on things that they have to do. You get them in housing first and foremost, and then everything else you worry about after that. So if people have a mental health issue, for example, we wouldn't require that they go get treatment first. We would put them in housing, and then we would offer them services to help them with whatever barriers that they have.
And I guess the distinction here is that when people talk about homelessness, people experiencing homelessness as a sort of a public policy issue, as you mentioned, mental health, drug abuse, there's so many other topics that come up. I guess what you're saying is make housing the one thing, right? It's literally there without a home. Try and fix that.
Exactly. We try to get people into a home so that they can work on everything after that. Housing is the number one thing. Without housing, you can't focus on your other needs. You have to worry about where you're going to lay your head at night, if you're going to be safe, if you're going to have food, all of those things. And those take priority to everything else. So we want to get them off the streets in safe housing so that then they can worry about everything else after that.
Jake, this brings up the idea of the idea that housing is a social determinant of health. That's kind of a fancy phrase. Can you what does that mean, and how does that relate to what we've been talking about?
Yeah, you know, the social determinants of health is just a concept that recognizes that about 80% of your health is determined by things that happen, you know, outside of the doctor's office, outside of the hospital. In many cases, by the time you get to the hospital or the doctor's office, it's almost too late. And so, you know, I think it's somewhat intuitive, but a lot of the things that actually determine our health are things like the kind of food we have access to, our level of income or education, and housing is one of these things as well. We see that people who experience homelessness are dramatically more vulnerable to some of the worst and most life-threatening health conditions than their housed peers. Homelessness, you know, if we imagined it as a health condition, it has a kind of a lethality rate that is on par with some of the worst forms of cancer. So this thing that I think has started to feel kind of normal in our country, we sort of see people experiencing homelessness, we're not sure what to do, and we sort of normalize it or walk by, you know, we're actually looking at someone who is really experiencing an urgent health crisis. And I think what they're trying to do in Rockford and so many other communities around the country is say, what would happen if we treated it that way?
So how does that idea play into the campaign of Built for Zero?
Sure. Yeah. Communities that are working together in Built for Zero, and there are about 100 across the U.S. and actually several more around the world increasingly, they are committed to ending all forms of homelessness, but they choose often to start with two somewhat unique forms. One is homelessness among our veterans. This is kind of one of the great shames of our country, the great disgraces of our country, is that we have allowed so many people who have served this country in uniform to come home and end up on the streets. And the other group that communities often choose to begin with or to target first is really a group that is uniquely vulnerable to many of the worst kind of health conditions that we see. And that group is called people experiencing chronic homelessness. This is folks who have been homeless for basically a really long time and who are really sick, have some kind of serious health condition, could be serious mental illness, could be a serious substance abuse challenge, could also be a chronic physical health condition. These folks end up in our emergency rooms at dramatically higher rates than other people. It costs, you know, in some cases 40% more to just treat their symptoms on the street than it does to just subsidize their housing and help get them stable. So really, you know, there's a lot of benefit for everybody, including, you know, in our kind of fiscal systems that becomes possible when we respond to homelessness as a health issue. And that's what Built for Zero communities are trying to do.
Are there populations that are at a disproportionate risk of this chronic housing insecurity?
Well, one of the challenging things is it's still very hard to predict, you know, who is going to fall into chronic homelessness. You know, most people, I think this surprises a lot of people I meet, most people who experience homelessness are having a sort of a one-time crisis in their lives. They're having maybe a serious financial issue like a job loss, or maybe a family issue that has strained their finances. Sometimes we see things like maybe a relative came home from prison and you're suddenly trying to support two people instead of one. Things that are often resolvable with a little bit of help and don't have to sort of tip over into kind of defining the rest of your life. But when somebody falls into homelessness as a result of these things and we aren't able to respond quickly, the longer somebody stays on the street or the longer somebody stays in institutional settings like shelter, the more likely it is that, you know, the sort of network that can help them get out of that situation becomes even more frayed. And so in some cases, it's like the longer you're in, the longer you're likely to be in is one of the cruel ironies of homelessness.
Mayor Tom McNamara, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you took office in 2017. In January of that year, Rockford is said to have become the first U.S. community to functionally end both veteran and chronic homelessness. I wonder, traveling around the city, just being there in the city, what does that look like?
So appreciate the opportunity to be on with you. I would say first and foremost, I think, you know, prior administration Mayor Morrissey deserves credit. And I think people often ask mayors a lot of these questions. I'm going to be totally blunt with you and say we really deserve no credit as leaders of the city. I think what it is you just need amazing staff who have this mix of passion and compassion, who want to work hard, have a heart, and have a great ability to work with others. And I think we have that certainly in Angie and so many others on the City of Rockford staff and in our community. So it's certainly a strong sense of pride for Rockfordians to know that their civil servants are out here making sure that the least, those who have the least among us are making sure that we're taking care of them. We really want to make sure everyone who calls Rockford home has a home and feels like they belong here and that they're cared for and that they're loved.
And Angie, I'm gonna ask you a similar question about just sort of what it looks and feels like. And I guess maybe what I'm trying to get at here is that just because you've given people housing doesn't mean that, you know, you end as you mentioned, you know, there may still be a lot of people suffering with mental health disorders or addiction, or, you know, might see people panhandling. Can you draw out the distinction between, you know, getting people in housing and addressing these other issues and how that's experienced in the city?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of people we've gotten housed over the last 4 or 5 years. But we do still see all of those things. We see many people facing mental health challenges. We have, in the last year, I've been asked about panhandlers 1,000 times. kind of tired of talking about panhandlers, actually. It's such a hot topic all the time.
We had a conversation on the show, guilty. So
it's a great question, though. Everybody is curious about it and everybody wonders. So, you know, there are those things that still happen. And sometimes those things relate to homelessness and sometimes they don't. We have a good number of homeless panhandlers, and then we have a good number of panhandlers that have never set foot into our homeless system at all. They have places to stay. They self-pay at various locations or whatever the case may be. So those things are definitely things that intersect with our homeless system, but they're not necessarily one and the same. So those are definitely people that we are always reaching out to. Those are definitely things that we take a look at all the time. As a homeless service provider, I know that mental health care is a huge issue in our community. And that's one of the things we're working very closely on right now. We're working with our other city departments, our code enforcement, our police, our fire. We actually just met yesterday to talk about mental health issues that affect all of us. And it's such a huge thing. And we're looking at ways that we can make sure that, specifically talking about the homeless folks, that our homeless folks that need those services the most can actually access them. Because right now that's a real issue for us. And we need to get these people the help that they need so that they can move forward and become more stable in their life.
Can I add on to that?
Please.
Great points, Angie. I guess two things. One, I think we're all sick and tired of talking about the panhandling question, but I will say when you have great staff like Angie, you'll hear someone mention at X and X intersection, Angie will know where it's at, which is easy enough, but she'll actually know the person by name, because we are out there building relationships with these folks long before they went to that intersection. And I would say, secondly, on the broader topic of mental health, our community, I would say, just really made a huge leap forward in our efforts to address mental health in the last 18 months. We actually passed a 0.5-cent sales tax that now generates about $15, $16 million that is all allocated to the mental health and wellness of our citizens. So that is now really in its second segment of life here in our community, where grants are being delivered. So I think over the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to see a dramatic increase in the care for all of our citizens. And the last point I'd make is, we've also really begun to focus on trauma and the trauma that our young people have experienced, and how, if you're someone, a young person who lives in the United States and you've experienced some form of trauma, unfortunately, all of us historically have just failed those young people. And we have not, we've let that trauma go unmitigated. And now we know you're have a higher likelihood of becoming homeless. You have a higher likelihood of becoming involved in violent crime. You have a higher likelihood of getting lower educational attainment results through school. So we, as an entire system, are really addressing trauma at a far younger age, really from 0 to 3, 4 and 5 year olds, and moving our way through that system to address trauma and mental health and wellness of our citizens.
So Angie, all right. I want to just reiterate what you said about, you know, the idea that panhandling is not necessarily correlated with homelessness. It does seem like it's going up during the pandemic, but we're not going to talk about that today. How has the pandemic affected homelessness itself? And I should say we have about a minute and a half until we need to take a break. So sort of a brief overview of what the pandemic did to people experiencing homelessness in Rockford.
Sure. I think there's two things that it's done that's really made an impact for us. One, obviously, we have had some people entering homelessness for the first time due to evictions. We've worked really hard and spent a lot of money as a community to keep people housed, though. You know, it's way better to keep people stably housed where they're at than have them become homeless and become part of that system. So we've worked really hard to keep them housed. But secondly, the other issue that we've had due to the pandemic is with the housing moratoriums, for example, there have not been open units for us to move homeless people into. So it's been a real challenge to find units where we can move our homeless people into. We have plenty of money to help them. We can help with rents and deposits and all of that stuff, but you have to have actual units to move people into, and that's been a real challenge. The secondary part of that challenge has also been landlords have been definitely increasing their rental rates. So the rent prices have skyrocketed mm-hmm. over the last few months. So to find places that are actually affordable for people has been a real challenge as well.
All right. We need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation. We're speaking with Angie Walker, who is a housing advocate and homeless program coordinator in Rockford, Mayor Tom McNamara of Rockford, and Jake McGuire, who co-leads the Built for Zero campaign. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation here on the 21st. 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the city of Rockford and its unique approach to addressing the issue of housing insecurity, chronic homelessness, veteran homelessness, and the idea that Rockford is a city that is one of relatively few, when you look at the United States of America writ large, that has as its goal getting to, and has functionally achieved at different points, at least pre-pandemic, getting to zero chronic homelessness, zero veteran homelessness. We're speaking about this with Angie Walker, who's the homeless program coordinator in the city, Mayor Tom McNamara, and Jake McGuire, who's co-leader of the Built for Zero campaign from the nonprofit Community Solutions. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Angie, I understand Rockford takes a different approach to counting people experiencing homelessness as compared to most cities. How so?
Well, we do a few things. A lot of communities over the years have historically relied on point-in-time data, which is an annual count we all do pretty much annually to count how many homeless people we have on a single night. We still do that. We do a point-in-time every year, but we also have something called a by-name list. And that is an actual list where we keep track of every single person in our area who's homeless. We have it broken down into 5 subcategories. So your veterans, chronics, youth, families with children, and then single adults. And then we also do extensive outreach, which means we have staff out on the streets pretty much every day. And we add people to our list based on outreach as well. So we kind of look at our data all together to make sure that our by name list kind of matches up with our point in time list, which matches up with our shelter data. And we kind of make sure that everything kind of just adds up and balances out. So we know that we have pretty accurate data.
Jake, can you talk about how that, you know, paired with the Housing First philosophy, how taking that approach to counting leads to, you know, bigger change, right? More transformative change.
Yeah, absolutely. This really gets to, and Mayor McNamara can speak to this as well, one of the challenges that a lot of mayors cite, in fact, we participated in kind of shaping something called the Menino Survey of Mayors recently. It was a national survey of mayors where mayors speak at length anonymously about the challenges they're facing around a variety of issues in their cities. And when asked about homelessness, one of the biggest things mayors cited was they don't feel that they have access to the kind of data they would need to actually know how to make a difference. You can imagine, you know, Angie talked about the point in time count, trying to manage something like, you know, your bank account, your checking account with, by, you know, pulling data once a year. I think we could agree you'd probably be overdrawn pretty quickly because your bank account changes much more frequently than that. And the same thing is true when we talk about homelessness. You know, people are coming into homelessness every night. People are exiting that experience every night. It's a sort of fundamentally dynamic problem. And so the big innovation here, I think, is two things. One, it's not just a way of counting people, but a way of knowing people, rehumanizing people, saying we have a name and a face and a sort of a file on each one of these people in our community. They're our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And we start to know what it would take to get that individual person back into permanent housing. But two, we can see how that picture is changing night over night. And so at any given time, we can start to say with some certainty, are our collective efforts working? You know, is the number of people experiencing this awful crisis going down in our community? And if not, then, you know, all the worthy work, as hard as we're all working, we may need to be open to trying something differently. And so can we have a meeting and look at what that data is telling us? And see if there are some natural opportunities to maybe change our approach. I think this is, you know, maybe the easiest way to sum it up is it is a way to make sure this is a human problem. We're going to know everybody by name and make it possible for people like Angie and the mayor and everybody else in this community working on this challenge to really earnestly step up and take accountability for getting to a real result.
The Illinois eviction moratorium expired last fall. Since then, we've seen reports of landlords refusing to accept housing vouchers and rental assistance. Mayor McNamara, has this affected Rockford?
You know, it certainly has impacted Rockford, but I would say our Health and Human Services team, again, kind of what Jake was saying, instead of using lagging data or waiting, we're trying to be leaders in this. And so we actually partnered with the court system and actually have staff housed in the courts so that we can catch this problem before it becomes a problem. And I should say catch the situation before it becomes a problem. And it's just, again, making sure that you have the right staff who really have a passion for this and aren't just punching a clock. This is really mission driven, people driven work. And it is long hours, a ton of work. But it's also an amazing feeling. And it's a huge sense of accomplishment that your staff can have. So I credit that partnership with making sure that it hasn't had as big of an impact on Rockford as it certainly could have and is really having across cities in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and I'll just add, if you're someone who lives in Rockford and you want to understand what makes your city a leader, what a place like Rockford is doing differently than other places in the country, you know, getting ahead of eviction is a great example. This is a community that has a proven instance already a couple years ago of seeing a spike in family evictions, an unexpected spike, having the real-time data to know right away that something was happening, calling together the team and saying, what do we know about this? What resources do we have? What can we try? And very quickly being able to drive a reduction in that new inflow, families coming into homelessness from eviction within a matter of months, something that it takes most communities a full year to even know is happening. That is the kind of shift I think we're talking about if we really want to take accountability for getting to zero on this problem.
Jake, how can Rockford, what should other communities be doing? Where do they start if they want to try and emulate what Rockford has done?
Yeah, this is a great question. It's so important. Every community is grappling with this question of homelessness. If you want to be like Rockford, and I would advocate that, you know, you should try to be like this city because they have the results. You got to do a couple things. The first is you have to set a shared aim. So getting to zero, that's our goal. Everybody who touches this problem, can we agree we're going to measure our results collectively? We're going to define success collectively by the number of people experiencing homelessness and whether that number is going down towards zero. That's a thing that can start to bring all these different players who touch this problem to one table, which is the second thing you've got to do. You've got to integrate that team, city, county, you know, you've heard about the fire department, mental health agencies, everybody at one table. And then the third thing is you've really got to build this by name real-time data set. Don't wait for this once a year count to catch you off guard and tell you you have a problem. Send your outreach teams out there, build connections with your hospitals, places that people experiencing homelessness might be showing up, so that you have a real-time pulse on this problem and you can begin to intervene, you know, in people's lives at this incredibly vulnerable moment as quickly as possible before things get out of hand. You know, everything else, figuring out how to allocate your housing resources, figuring out what kinds of technical strategies you need to adopt, all of that stems from what that kind of data and information starts to show. So if you could do those three things, set a shared aim, integrate that team the way the mayor and other people in Rockford have done, and then build that real-time by-name data set. That is the way to really get your arms around this issue and start to understand what else needs to be done in your community.
Jake McGuire is co-leader of the Built for Zero campaign from Community Solutions. We've also been speaking with Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara and Angie Walker, who's homeless program coordinator in the city. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.